Hi, this is Seamus Toomey, publisher of Block Club Chicago and one of its three co-founders. Thank you so much for listening to the Block Club podcast. Did you know it just won the award for Chicago's best news podcast by the Society of Professional Journalists local branch, the Chicago Headline Club? If you're wondering, what is Block Club? Let me help. We're not just a podcast. We're a full newsroom with reporters all over the city. They're out there digging up stories that reflect all of Chicago, not just the stuff that makes the TV news. We've got slice of life stories, new restaurants, arts and culture, long-term investigations, and even the occasional wacky animal story. We're an independent news organization, so we don't answer to hedge funds, billionaire owners, or outside organizations who want to control what we cover and how we cover it. We answer to our readers, because that's who pays our bills. We have tens of thousands of readers who subscribe, send us donations, buy merch, and share our stories. That's our secret. We're owned by everybody because we're a nonprofit newsroom. We've also got a great free morning newsletter. It's been voted best newsletter in the Chicago Reader's annual Best of Chicago contest 5 years in a row. And we're going for a six-peat. Your subscriptions and donations keep all of this going. So please consider going to blockclubchicago.org and supporting us. Or just sign up for our newsletters. We think Chicago is stronger with independent journalists on the hunt for stories. So check out what we do.
Chicago is giving it another go.
There's a new venue for some of Chicago's most competitive swimmers, the Chicago River. That's right, Chicago's historically murky waterway is now ready for folks to dive in. Why now? And is it really safe?
The event was canceled last year, but appears set to happen next month. On today's Block Club Chicago podcast, an expert weighs in on whether the river, more famous for being, well, frankly, gross, is safe to swim in. First time in 98 years, the Chicago River is going to host an open water swim event in the fall. It was denied the permit last year. Going to take place September 21st. 500 qualified swimmers navigating a 1 or 2 mile course through a stretch of the river downtown. It'll start at Dearborn, right at the bridge, and near the Clark Street Bridge, followed by a festival along the Riverwalk with events for Chicagoans of all ages. I'll do that part. I don't think I would qualify for this race anyways. Chris Anker is the Cook County Forest Preserve District Chief Biologist.
Hello.
I got to ask you a blunt question, then we'll break it all down. But point blank, would you jump in the river and swim in it?
If it were today, yes, I would.
Okay. So let's talk about that, because would you have done it 50 years ago?
Absolutely not.
Would you have done it 25 years ago?
Absolutely not.
So what has changed?
It's been the first was the passage of the Clean Water Act back in the 70s that addressed all the major sources of point sources of pollution, you know, all the major inflow. So that left all of the runoff. And in the last 20 years, the Forest Preserve District of Cook County and the Friends of the Chicago River have done a masterful job of management of many of the areas that border the river to improve the habitat quality, to improve the infiltration of water into the soil, as opposed to running off the landscape and running all of the pollutants into the river. You've eliminated the chemicals in the 70s, and now you're eliminating a lot of the pollutants from the land that we're getting into the water.
Yeah, you just summed that up perfectly, Moore. So we stopped putting stuff in the river we shouldn't have in the 70s, and then we stopped putting stuff on the land and figured out ways to get the water from rain and other sources to absorb into the soil, then leaching into the river and bringing with it anything bad from the land into the water.
Exactly.
That's a pretty good story. I mean, it's one
it's
I don't think.
Fabulous story. Yeah, fabulous story.
I mean, we talk about the River Walk, what a difference it makes to be able to walk along it. But we have put in, we've put in the time to make this thing better.
Absolutely. And it took a long time. I mean, literally, you know, when Chicago was developed, the river was an open sewer, and it was an open sewer for a century, basically. So the problem with the river now is not so much the water quality itself as it is the bottom of the river, the benthos. That still contains quite a bit of a century and a half of pollutants. But as long as you don't disturb it, it doesn't get up into the water column. So as long as we leave it alone, it's kind of like having a house that was built before 1970. It's got lead paint in it. Mm. You know, there's two ways of handling it. Either rip out all the walls or just cover the lead paint with latex and it's solved. So right now, that's pretty much what they're doing. They're just letting the clean sediments cover the polluted ones, and the pollution from the last century and a half doesn't get back up into the water column.
It's interesting. When you said it was all down there, I said, well, why don't we dredge it up?
Well, you can, but that's incredible, incredible Superfund site. A lot of disturbance, a lot of...
money.
Oh, tons of money. Yes, absolutely.
So you leave it down there, everything above it, it doesn't get disturbed. So if you do dive in, don't go swimming down there and seeing how far you can get and mixing it all up in your hands. Because really, how deep is the river?
It depends what part of the river that you're in. So it's considered navigable waterway. So the vast majority of it is, you know, going to be between 7-9 feet to 15 feet.
Wow. I thought it would be deeper.
Well, I mean, like I said, it depends where you're at. I mean, there are parts that are much deeper depending on the usage for the river. So that's up to the Army Corps to decide how deep they want to manage it for commerce.
Is the river's glow up, as I'll call it, over the last 50 years and its success story one that should be told, but also as a perhaps warning about what you do in retreating back from some of the victories that have been gained?
Without a doubt. I mean, this is a social cultural question that we have to address going forward. So this is something that our children and our grandchildren are going to have to deal with in the future. And they're going to have to make those difficult decisions, you know, what to do. So I'm aging myself here, but back in the late 60s, early 70s, there were many parts of the river that had no fish in them. And now if you go down to the Riverwalk, it's very common to see people walking up and down with fishing poles and they're catching bass. We went from zero fish species to 20, 30 fish species over the course of the last couple decades because of the improvement of water quality.
Yeah, that's a very easy way to visualize it. But that improves the wildlife, I imagine, as you talk about the food cycle and the chain and, you know, the interaction of the species. I mean, that's why we've seen bald eagles not too far from downtown.
Yeah, currently there's 6 bald eagle nests in Cook County, and there's about 25 osprey nests in Cook County. And both of those animals were horribly decimated in the 60s and 70s from DDT. We also have peregrine falcons nesting on the skyscrapers in the city, another species that was horribly decimated by DDT.
Is there more we should be doing, or are we pretty much on the right track right now?
Well, there's always more. It's just a matter of, as a society, as a culture, how much do we want to, of our cumulative capacity, do we want to dump into something like this? And that's a decision for all of us to make, without a doubt.
I know the development of the Riverwalk, you know, maybe there's limited negative side effects. I don't know if some of the concrete making and all that maybe spilled something in the river. I don't know. I'm sure they took every precaution not to. But on the whole, is bringing more people to see the water of Chicago an overall benefit to our awareness of and importance of keeping it clean?
Absolutely. So you have to bring people into the solution. You have to bring people into the whole part of it. If they don't view that as part of them, they're not going to want to protect it. They're not going to want to throw capacity at it. So absolutely, that's one of the finest things that they could have done. Bring more people to it, give more people access to it. More people want to fish. More people want to kayak, canoe, pleasure boat. It just it becomes a part of society.
Beyond just the river, I've got you here, and I've just saw a coyote in my backyard about a month ago walking across the deck. I don't think it's mating season. I think that's in... that's in the winter time.
That's in February, yeah.
But we have been seeing a lot more, and it's not like I've got a big forest near me. I don't have any little dogs. I got a little kid, but he's not going to go out by the coyote. I love seeing them. Is that population continue to grow? I mean, we talk about it fairly often here.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's growing as it is they're becoming more and more familiar with us. So they're intelligent enough to know that we don't hunt them, we don't trap them around here, so they kind of ignore us. Is basically what it amounts to. So this time of year, all of the pups are out of the den. They're running around as a group, and the adults are frantically trying to find enough food to feed all of those adolescent mouths. So they're becoming very, very obvious. And if we were out in DeKalb County or Western Kane County or Grundy or Kendall, you wouldn't see this because those animals are hunted and trapped. And so they do everything they can to avoid being seen by us.
Wait, so in the western, the far outreaches, they hunt and trap them. Why do they do that there?
There's very, very little land in Cook County where you can legally hunt or trap a coyote.
No, sorry, I guess I'm asking, I didn't know people hunted coyotes out there.
Oh, absolutely. So coyote season is open year-round in the state of Illinois, as in most states. And it's just a matter of having your proper licenses and permits, and you can hunt them.
Okay.
If so, you choose to.
So they avoid them there. But is there probably a correlation to the fact that last year I had a bazillion rabbits and never saw a coyote? This year I've seen a bunch of coyotes and I don't see any rabbits?
On the local scale, yes. That is a very plausible hypothesis, without a doubt.
Yeah, because the rest of the area seems to be complaining about a ton of bunnies this year. I don't really have any, but I have a lot of coyotes. Okay, we covered a lot. Any final thoughts on the river, Chris? Any last celebrations you want to make for wildlife?
I think it's a fabulous, fabulous resource, and I'm really happy that so many people. I was down there giving a presentation at the Bridge Museum there off of Michigan Avenue a couple of weeks ago, and the volume of people using the Riverwalk and the river was just astonishing. And it's heartening to see people enjoying that resource. It's wonderful.
I love it. Chris Anker, Cook County Forest Preserve District Chief Biologist. As always, thanks for your time, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. For more, head to blockclubchicago.org, and we'll link to the story in the episode show notes. And a reminder, as we chatted about swimming in the river, the water may be safe for a sanctioned event, but officials, they don't want you swimming in there regularly. Lots of boat traffic downtown makes it a pretty dangerous place to swim, even if the water is in better shape. Hey, Block Club Chicago's on the radio, too, Monday through Friday mornings on the Bob Surratt Morning Show on 720 WGN. Here's a recent appearance from Jen Sabella.
Jen Sabella joins us. Jen, good morning. I'm so glad at Block Club Chicago you're doing this story about the retail space at Trump Tower. I was just on the Riverwalk the other day looking at all of those vacant stores. What's happening with that?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. It is 70,000 square feet, and it holds the longest running downtown retail vacancy for over 5,000 square feet. It has been vacant since Trump Tower opened in 2009. A lot of the brokers we spoke to, our reporter Mac Lederman, he went deep on this. He talked to tons of real estate brokers, including the people who are trying to lease the space now. And they think it's honestly the giant Trump sign on the river. People are nervous to be affiliated with it. They just say, you know, there's going to be people who like Trump. There's going to be people who don't. And that could put their business there at risk. The real estate broker working on it now is saying they've had some bites and that people are interested. Initially, they wanted to have a restaurant or two restaurants at the location. But another challenge with that location is getting to it. I'm sure, as you know, just navigating that Riverwalk or trying to tell somebody how to get there, especially if they're coming by car, can be a little confusing with like the different levels and having to walk upstairs and all that. So it has a few issues going for it. They are not sharing the price. They said it's negotiable. But yeah, this giant space on the river, as the rest of the Riverwalk is filled out, it's just a gaping hole, and some realtors said it's the most talked about lease in the country.
Yeah, it's a prime space, though, as far as visibility, isn't it?
It is. It is. And yeah, we spoke to some people who were nearby that day, and they said, you know, they get it. They get why people might be nervous. They
yeah.
just, you know, if somebody's mad at the president that day, are they not going to visit their restaurant because it's in the tower with this big name on it? So
yeah, yeah, empty real estate along the Chicago River. Let's talk about Smashburgers in Humboldt Park. Everybody loves the Smashburger these days.
Yes, and this is an exciting story. I think I talked to you about this when they first came to Desert Hawk, which is a bar in West Town. It's called Smash Hibarito. So it's a hibarito, so it's made with fried plantains instead of the regular traditional bun you'd have on a smash burger. And it did so well at this pop-up in the bar that they are opening their own location in Humboldt Park. It's really exciting. It'll be open probably in the next few weeks at 2534 West Division Street. It's going to be a family-friendly place. They're going to have the burgers. They're going to have some other stuff on the menu. It's meant to be quick service. No alcohol or anything served there, but except these famous smashy burritos. So, yeah, smash burgers with that fried plantain. They have all different kinds of versions of it, one with a house-pickled jalapeno cheese sauce. which sounds delicious, at 8:55 in the morning.
Yeah, 2534 West Division for that. Tell us about the Southside legend known as the Watermelon Man.
This is so cool, and I'm going to go and try to check it out this week. But there's a man, his name is Ken, the Watermelon Man. He's been selling watermelons on 83rd and Stony Island for nearly 20 years. He's originally from Milwaukee, and he drives his truck down to the south and tries a bunch of watermelons at different farms in the south, and he brings the best ones back to Chicago, and he tastes them all, and people will travel. We spoke to one woman who traveled from Tinley Park all the way to 83rd and Stony to buy a watermelon, and they're more expensive than what you get at the grocery store, but everyone we talked to said they are the best watermelons you can get in Chicago. They're super sweet, always really fresh, and this guy is just a total character. We love a Chicago story like this. So, yeah, if you want the sweetest watermelon in Chicago, head down to 83rd and Stony and buy it off of the Watermelon Man's truck.
Nothing better than a good, cold, sweet watermelon this time of year. So how do you know when his truck is there at 83rd and Stony?
He's there mostly Friday evening. So if you're heading home from work on a Friday, you'll see him there. He will pop up other times during the week, but it's honestly just... You gotta hope to get him on those Fridays.
Gotta be lucky. Thanks, Jen Sabella. Yeah. BlockClubChicago.org for more.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Jen. And thank you, listeners. We appreciate it. Rate, review, and subscribe to the Block Club Chicago podcast. You can donate to our nonprofit newsroom at BlockClubChicago.org. Next scheduled podcast for Thursday or whenever a big story breaks.